Layla Bell, Director of Research and Data at NC Child.
And what is NC Child?
We are a state-level child advocacy organization that works to improve outcomes for kids.
This most recent study that you authored, could you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, we found that women's health is linked to the health of their future pregnancies, deliveries, and births. So if we really want to be moving the needle on infant mortality, which is such an important issue for our state, we really need to be looking at how we can improve women's health. We also found that there's a significant barrier to women's health in North Carolina. We see that about 1 in 5 women of reproductive age in our state is currently uninsured. And we know from the research and evidence that uninsured women are just less likely to be in good health. And all of that puts them at risk for some future complications for their pregnancies, their deliveries, and really the health of their future babies.
Okay, and so we sort of looked at Western North Carolina to see if this was a significant problem out west, and it does appear to be, especially as you get further out towards the far reaches of the western part of the state. Can you tell me a little bit about what you found in Western North Carolina?
Well, we looked at a few different things. We looked at the percent of women who were uninsured, and we also looked at what are the birth outcomes for women across the state in North Carolina. When we look at women who are uninsured, again, these are the women who lack access to preventative care that enables them to achieve their best health and really helps them get things like chronic illnesses under control to make sure that they're having healthier pregnancies and babies. In the western part of the state, we see that there are higher percentages of women who are uninsured than the state average. So I mentioned to you that about 1 in 5 women in North Carolina reproductive age is uninsured. But when we look in places like Buncombe and Haywood, Transylvania, Cherokee and Clay have some of the highest rates of uninsured women in the state.
And is that just a result of poverty, or are there other factors at play?
Well, yes. So really, cost is a significant barrier for women being able to access the health insurance coverage that really helps to support them being in better health. So, in fact, when we look at that figure of about 20% of women in North Carolina who are currently uninsured, we know that more than half of them currently earn too much to be eligible for a public health insurance program, but they really earn far too little to be able to access or purchase care through the health insurance marketplace. So these are women that really are left without any affordable health care options, which means that they are just less likely to see a doctor when they need one. They may lack the access to the health care services that they need to help make sure that they're in their best health.
Now, the reason I called you originally, of course, was because the statistics from Madison County jumped out at me, but it was looking at 1 year. And so Madison County had the second highest infant mortality rate for this 1 year. And you already explained to me that I should be cautious about looking at just 1 year of data. But what did you find when you looked at Madison and some of the other counties around the western part of the state?
Yeah, and that's an excellent point that infant mortality is kind of the end of the road type of indicator. It is an ultimate poor outcome, and that's why it's such a significant concern for our state. And the challenges of working with that data is in communities like Madison, where there are fewer births, just the raw number of infant deaths, although significant, tends to be much smaller, and it could artificially inflate the rate as a result. So we looked at data for multiple years, for 2010 through 2014, which allows us to clump together more birth years and increase that sample size to create something a little bit more reliable. Now, the number of infant deaths in Madison is still pretty small. There were 9 infant deaths during that time, and so the infant mortality rate during that period was 9.7 deaths for every 1,000 live births. When we look at Western North Carolina more broadly, during that 5-year period, the infant mortality rate for this state was about 7.1. And when we look across Western North Carolina, we see some communities that have higher birth rates, for example, Buncombe County, that have an infant mortality rate that's about on par with the state average. The one thing I just want to caution us about is, as we consider the infant mortality rate, which of course is a significant indicator, if we wanted to be more effective in improving birth outcomes and ensuring more of our babies live to see their first birthday, we actually need to be looking at those babies who are born at risk. So those babies who are born either premature or at a low birth weight, because those are the two primary drivers for infant mortality in North Carolina. So if we were to actually back up to either of those indicators, we see that prematurity is a problem in Western North Carolina as it is in other parts of the state. So places like Madison, where 13% of all births in the community are premature, and the same is true for Buncombe.
What do you think could be done about this, and what do you think should be done about it?
Well, yeah, that's an excellent question, because we know that we can make progress in infant mortality. So one of the things that we found in the report is North Carolina has made significant progress overall in infant mortality over a number of years. So for more than two decades, the infant mortality rate in North Carolina was actually improving, right? It dropped by more than 40%. But what we've seen over the past five data years is that progress has begun to plateau. We are no longer making the same gains or improvement in infant mortality. And this is important for us as a state because North Carolina, like many states in the Southeast, have a higher infant mortality rate than the national average. So nationally, we lose about six babies for every 1,000 babies born. In North Carolina, our infant mortality rate is seven infant deaths for every 1,000 live births. But we also see that our outcomes fare worse in North Carolina than in some of our neighboring states. So, for example, a child born here in North Carolina is actually less likely to live to see his or her first birthday than a child born in South Carolina, for example, or Virginia, or even Tennessee. So we know that if we want to be moving the needle on infant mortality, we need to be addressing those root causes that will enable us to jumpstart our really stalled progress in infant mortality. And the root causes are things like, as you mentioned earlier, you know, the social and economic conditions of the communities where women live, as well as these barriers like women's lack of access to health care that make it far more difficult for them to receive physical and mental health care and to be able to get in the best health that they can be before they even become pregnant.
So, you know, in the state, there's been a lot of controversy, of course, over Medicaid expansion. Republican lawmakers in the General Assembly are refusing to expand Medicaid. Democrats want to see Medicaid expanded. And without getting too political, would Medicaid expansion be one possible solution to this problem?
Well, that's an interesting question. So we went and looked at the research and the evidence to see what could we do to really help ensure that more women are having healthier pregnancies and births. We saw that extending Medicaid to low-income women could potentially have big gains in terms of improving birth outcomes in our state. And again, we're talking about those two primary drivers of infant mortality, which is prematurity and low birth weight births. In fact, there's actually been some great analysis that's come out of Oregon. So there was this recent study that was done in Oregon who actually took some actions to extend Medicaid coverage to this specific population of all adults, not just women in their state, a little earlier than other states who have, the 31 states who have adopted or decided to extend Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. So we're starting to see some of the data roll in from the Oregon experience. So they actually used a lottery. It was this randomized control trial, which people know is kind of the gold standard for research and evidence. And what they found was when they extended their Medicaid eligibility, they found that more people were being able to get their chronic diseases appropriately diagnosed and under control. So it significantly increased the diagnosis of diabetes and the use of diabetes medication. We know that diabetes is linked, directly linked to those two poor birth outcomes that we talked about. And they also saw that it increased the probability of a person having a usual source or place of care, so a doctor that they can go to when they are sick and also in order to keep them well, by 50%. And this is huge because we've talked about earlier access to health care and women receiving appropriate preventative care as well as physical and mental health services is really a key and critical factor in healthy births. So all of the evidence points in the direction of extending Medicaid eligibility to people who are below that kind of linchpoint in the coverage gap would really have a really big effect, not only on the health of those adults, but the health of their future children as well.